The lights are on red. We're away.
Hello and welcome to Motopod, the internet radio show all about motorcycle road racing. This is episode number 262 for Wednesday the 23rd of February 2011, and it is the last show before we have a proper race to talk about, even though as we talk, Martin Darlington, there are bikes on course.
There are indeed, and just to bring us up to speed at the moment, Michelle Fabrizio has been quickest in session two at World Superbike Test at Phillip Island. So you'll be able to tell that we are actually watching this on Monday night in the UK or Monday afternoon in the USA. And I've got a sound that the listeners haven't heard for a while, Jim, so if I can just... There we go.
Our old friend,
co-host, Mr. Guinness, is back with us.
And it's not clearly it's not 6:30 in the morning in the UK. Martin is 10 something evening on a.
No, I'd like people to start being concerned when they hear that sound, and I am doing it at 6:30. I need to go and see someone when that happens.
So yeah, this is Jim Race, of course, and I think this may be one of the first times where we've ever recorded a show while there is on-track action going on. So you may see us occasionally in a distracted state. That being said, not only do we have World Superbike currently running at Phillip Island, it's the last test again before the race coming up this coming weekend, we also have, we've got testing about to start tomorrow at Sepang, Malaysia, for the GP bikes. And so there is a ton of activity. There is a lot to talk about. We do have a couple of interviews we'll have for you this week, one with a gentleman named Heidi Kender, who is a long, old-time friend of the show going way back and going back through prior endeavors that both myself and Jules have been involved with, notably RideOn2.com and the precursor to that on a little Google experiment called Orchid. But also we should have Mark Brax, who is currently at Phillip Island at the test, and we'll try and get him about halfway through day two of the test. So, and on top of that, there's a ton of other stuff going on. Martin, walk us through some of this, and we'll do our best to keep organized.
Sure. Well, talking about World Superbikes and PI, really sad news. Chris Vermeulen, who missed a chunk of last season through injury, he's not recovered from knee surgery, and he's going to sit out the Phillip Island round. He's hoping to make Donington Park, but that one's still in the balance. I mean, that is nearly a month away. So it does give him a little more time to recover. But that's a real shame. And a top tip for any of the guys who've picked him in their fantasy road race teams. And it's the last tip you're going to get because, you know, once the competition starts, all the gloves come off, except the riders. They have to keep theirs on. But that is a shame because it's almost like the curse of the ex-Suzuki riders. You know, we've seen Hopper go through the ringer. And Chris has had a pretty rough time, and it's a shame because he comes across as a top lad and a blooming good rider. I mean, World Supersport champion. He was second, I think, in World Superbikes 1 year, wasn't he, before he went to MotoGP. So hopefully he will make a full recovery, he won't push it, and he'll come back. We also, on the other side...
Let me note real quick that running in the spot at this test is Akira Yanagawa, kind of an iconic Japanese rider who has been around and riding for Kawasaki for some time. If it is determined that Chris may need to be out for more of an extended period of time, there has been talk of Andrew Pitt filling his shoes, or his boots, if you will. We'll have to see how that goes.
Yeah, that's... But to miss your home round, that must be really gutting for him. Also, across on the other side of the world from those of us on this side of the world. Yeah. Jules is going to have a whole load of editing to do. Yamaha MotoGP factory team revealed their team livery for the 2011 season. And against all my predictions, I was saying last week, it's in Malaysia, Sierra Asia based there. Yeah, that's also where the test is happening in Sepang, which is probably why it was Malaysia. They've gone for their corporate Yamaha colours. They look beautiful, dark blue and white, but there is no title sponsor, as predicted by those in the know, as opposed to those of us who just have opinions without anything to back it up. So that's the World Superbike team and the Factory Motor GP team without a main sponsor. There are sponsors on the Petronas, is on their Iveco, who give them support with the trucks and everything. Immediately people started tweeting, is this, you know, the Rossi factor or the lack of? And I'm sure if Rossi was still there, Fiat would still be on board. But it does seem that people are saying, no, it's not so much that. It's probably just no one could quite agree the packet. Although, or the package, there have a number of the journos out there have been saying, Yamaha are quietly making it clear that if someone comes along with a good wedge, they'll instantly respray their bikes to whatever color someone wants.
Yeah, no doubt. And it's clear that we've seen in the past that teams can pick up or change sponsorship opportunities mid-season. You know, you remember when Spies was riding in World Superbike, and I think it was three or four races in, and all of a sudden that was the sterile Guardia bike, which had been up to that point ported, if you will, by Max Biaggi. So, you know, things do change around. They can change around mid-season. Yamaha is still obviously fielding a team. They're going to be there. They're going to be strong. You know that. I did notice that your man, Jorge Lorenzo, did manage to pick up a new personal sponsor, which to me is kind of cool. Brings back to all the way to my childhood in a very American thing, I believe, which is Hot Wheels is one of his new sponsors.
And Rockstar. He's obviously gone off Grizzly energy drinks and he's onto Rockstar. And his helmet's looking good. I mean, they do look good, those bikes, and the leathers look good. There was a bit of humor. Neil Spaulding reported on Twitter, and if anyone wants to follow him, it's at Spaulders, S-P-A-L-D-E-R-S, and very worthwhile. He's the Eurosport technical guru, and he reported that right on cue, halfway through the Yamaha press conference, Valentino's boys decided to warm up his bike right outside the door. And you just think, there you go, psychological warfare with a sense of humor. And so it begins again.
Yes, it does. You know, it's Twitter has been on fire the last 24 hours. And there are a ton of riders on there, very active. There are, of course, pretty much all the journos are on there. And, you know, especially the time right now, I purposefully have it off. Because they're people are just chatting away. Fabrizio is still up on top, right? By the way,
I haven't looked for a few seconds.
Yeah. I've got it here. I'm like looking back and forth between my two screens. All right, let's keep going here. I do want to welcome. I believe we mentioned this. We may not have mentioned it on the show. It was an invitation that was put out for Facebook. We do have the need sometimes to have additional people helping us out, and we've had plenty of offers in the past, and they've always been informal, but we did put a request out for an intern or interns to, and it's kind of a jokey term, basically, you're working with us for the same wages we get, for somebody to give us a hand with the podcast, whether it be interviews, talking to people, making arrangements, et cetera. And we have brought an additional person on board, one by the name of Gonzalo Silva, a longtime enjoyer of the show and sort of in the same little connection of networks of people that we know. He did meet up with Jules Cisek at Brno last year. He and I had a good call over the weekend, and he's going to be helping us out. So a big welcome to Gonzalo, to the team. What we're going to do is we're going to work with him for a bit and see how that works out from a timing perspective and, you know, what kind of how we have to manage things to get things done. And it will be, you know, every time you add somebody, you add some complexity to the arrangements, and we want to try and make sure that in the effort to help ourselves be more efficient, we don't make ourselves less so. We have had a couple of other people write in, and we appreciate that, and I'll be talking to them. By the time they hear the show, they'll hear about it, but we're going to hold on to those, and as soon as we know that we've got things under control, we'll get that process rolling again. But thank you, everybody, that has written in to us, and it's very cool. It's kind of a new chapter, if you will. This allows us to extend our reach a little bit, as well as get some different perspectives, which are always good. And as a classic example, you, Mr. Darlington, started off as Marco Melandri to the top. Very interesting. In fact, with the 132-122, he's still about three quarters of a second off of Checa's quick time from yesterday, but I get ahead of myself. Anyway, that is that, and all of that's coming through the Motopod Facebook fan page, which you should definitely join even if you don't like Facebook. It could be one reason to go there just for that. We do an awful lot of talking there. Things certainly get busy, and it's very up-to-date, active. One thing of note, and I've been watching a fair amount of this go around, and as we know, the strife in North Africa and borders beyond, there's been a lot of things going on with public revolution and regime changes and whatnot. Well, that has affected what was to be the opening F1 race from Bahrain, and that has been canceled. There's been some questions by some people, you know, they're going to have to do the same for Qatar, but Qatar is actually one of the most stable states in that region, and so I'm thinking not. I'm thinking it'll be fine. But, you know, who knows? This stuff is certainly spreading, and things...
I mean, Bahrain was seen as one of the most stable and laid-back places, but my goddaughter's out there. She's not going to make the wedding, unfortunately. She's on a leave ban. She's an air stewardess on the Royal Flight. So, she stood by to serve emergency cocktails if they have to evacuate. But it doesn't seem to be that... It's not they're trying to overthrow anything. It's just that there are two religious groups and one wants equal treatment and the glass ceiling to be removed. So hopefully it's calmed down. And I was surprised actually that they've cancelled it, because Bernie Eccleston's not scared of sticking his head above the parapet.
Boy, did he put his foot in his mouth a few times this week. As he's wont to do.
It hasn't got far to travel, his foot, has it? 4'9", I think.
He keeps it at the ready at most times.
And I don't care if that's the end of our chances for an interview with him, because I don't want one.
not really. And I leave that to our friends over at the F1 podcast. Boy, you know, I got to get back on there and listen. They must be having a bit of a heyday with that. Those folks are certainly in the know and on the inside. So, you're on the scores up to the top with a 131. I believe he is one of two riders, including Checa, who are in the 31s. Good on him. And a Kawasaki at the top. Amazing. Wow.
And no sign of Carlos yet.
Maybe he's resting. You know, it's interesting. We're going to do this all through the show, folks. Yesterday, it looked as if Jonathan Rea hadn't been out during the second session. And apparently
he had. I noticed your tweet on that one. Yeah. Where is he?
Yeah, and he wasn't showing up, but apparently he had been out there. I don't know if his transponder was non-functional or if he took it off to do some super secret laps. But interesting. You know, I'm looking at this list, and let me just run through it right now because it's very interesting. First is the scores. Second is Melandri. Third is Fabrizio. Fourth is Guintoli. And fifth is Haga. That is a very interesting mix. Very interesting.
Are you sure we're not falling into the trap of reading a bit too much into a test? I mean, it is the last test before they race.
This is literally the last day of the last
circuit
test.
You
never know, but still. And so there's an additional almost 2 hours remaining in this first session from today, and there'll be another one later this afternoon / evening in the UK. Back to dragging
back to Bernie Eccleston. It's Melbourne that the MP, the Member of Parliament, if that's what they're called in Australia, and I'm sure our colonial cousins would correct me if I'm wrong, he's been getting a bit, we don't really know. There's a lot of complaints about the race because it's a street race in Melbourne, isn't it? So they shut the city down whilst it goes on, and there's a lack of enthusiasm, apparently. Bernie Eccleston's turned around and said, if they want to cancel their contract, that's fine. We'll go elsewhere if they don't want to host it anymore. And immediately the bike press guys were tweeting and Facebooking and emailing and the rest, saying that actually might be a bonus, because if Dorna insists on the PI round being moved to the beginning of the season, and the Australians are like, but it's the same company who runs them both, we can't do them both in the same time of the year, and the F1 cancel, we can move PI to the beginning of the year and we won't lose it. Because at the end of the day, that would be a tragedy. If we lost that race, would be It's just a fantastic circuit. Love watching the racing there.
Yep, no doubt. No doubt. Let's chat a little bit about MotoGP before we dive deeper back into World Superbike. We do have the Sepang test coming up, and there's a kind of a lot of things that we're sort of wondering about. You wrote out a list of questions that we can talk about, and I can too. Simoncelli,
Yeah.
can he maintain the pace that he was showing prior? This is going to be a real crapshoot, is making guesses or assumptions for Malaysia, because who knows what the weather is going to be like. It sounds like it's hot there now. Imagine that. And we're just going to have to see. It will be interesting to see if he can keep up, or if the chips are going to start falling where people have predicted up to this point.
Well, there was a big article in MCN this week, interview with Kevin Schrantz, and the headline was "Simoncelli is the new doctor," says Kevin Schrantz. It's the classic MCN. Well, it's a classic any journo. You pick out the headline that you want that sells the paper. But he won't. I mean, there's no doubt the guy's a talent. What will be interesting is, can he get on it at the beginning of the season? Because as Jules pointed out when we were discussing this a few weeks ago, he said, well, he never got going till a third of the way through. Then he'd come really strong towards the end, which we kind of saw last year. That'll be interesting. Can Stoner maintain his early pace on the Honda? I mean, Casey's shown us for the last few years that, yes, he can be blooming quick. Can Rossi improve? Is the shoulder mending? Is it improving? And because I'd written so many cans, I then just said the can-can was a freaky dance performed at the Moulin Rouge by exotic dancers, but that's really got no relevance to what we're doing here.
And then your show opener, of course, can of Guinness, please.
Yep.
Yeah, there's a bunch of what ifs and what about and who can, and I think this test will get us closer to something that might be approximating answers, because people really need to pick up the pace, both in development and rider comfort with the bikes. The one that truly tells the tale, and we will see, this will be the test at Qatar prior to that round. Although, that one's even kind of sketched, to give you an idea what's going to happen when things travel back to the traditional
Exactly.
true
Horizon.
start. Yeah, because it's a night race.
In
As
extraordinarily strange conditions, and
yeah.
yeah, I mean, it's really, I think, I remember last year, I remember watching Loris and Alvaro Bautista and thinking, wow, these guys are on it. The Suzuki, wow, they've really made it good. But of course, we're watching them at Sepang. And when the season started, they really suffered, except for the odd rounds in the middle where it was hot. And they didn't have long, constant radius corners. I mean, PI is the Suzuki's worst nightmare. But, well, it certainly was last year. But yeah, it's so difficult not to, when this is the only information you've got, it's so difficult not to try and draw conclusions from it.
Yeah, I mean, and you look at it, and you're one of the things that you just desperately try to cling to, or at least I do, is some form of objectivity as to what's going on. But I have always said that the early rounds of testing don't really tell you a whole lot beyond, I mean, are they really screwed, or are they going to have a fair shot? And usually the cream does rise to the top, to use an overly used term. But we're no longer at early testing right now. We are getting closer and closer. This Phillip Island one is, mere days away from the actual start to the season. And so things are hotting up, and things are going to happen, and we're going to start learning things more and more. But until the lights go out, we really don't know the truth. And that is when the tale is told. Let's take a little trip back, Martin. To actually, you know what I want to do right now? I want to go ahead and roll this interview that we did with Heidi Kinder. Let's go ahead and pop that in, and we'll come back and we'll talk about Phillip Island a little bit more.
Sorry.
Hey, this is Jim Race here for Motopod. I have on the line with me an old friend of the show and a friend of the family, if you will, that goes way back and actually has some underpinnings in the origin of where Motopod is these days. His name is Heidi Kinder. He lives in Tallinn, Estonia, and we got him on the line. How are you doing, Heidi?
Hey everybody, how you doing? I'm doing fine. Actually, it's a little bit cold here right now, I don't know if you know Celsius, it's minus 20 right now.
And I'm actually snowed out of work today, Heidi. I couldn't make it up because it's snowing at my work, which is at 3,000 feet, about 1,000 meters in California. So I can sympathize, but it's only maybe minus one there. And minus 20 is something us folks here in California have no idea what it is
It's
like.
minus 4 or something in Fahrenheit,
Okay,
right?
yeah.
Yeah. Oh, when it's in minus by Fahrenheit, then it's serious.
Yeah, that's
Now
when
I know.
you walk outside and your nose falls off. To give you listeners out there a bit of a background, Heidi and I know each other from online, imagine that. But he and I met along with Jules Chisek, who's also a co-host on the show, back in a little nascent, weird little experiment that Google did called Orkut. And I had started a motorcycle road racing thing on their conference, if you will. And Heidi popped in, Jules popped in, and Jules Australia, who originally had the rideon2.com domain. And we started talking, and that moved into rideon2.com. Then we got involved with Bob for MotoGPOD, which has now evolved into Motopod. So part of this is your fault.
Maybe some, I tried to keep that wheel spinning because I really like that company that I get on that Orkut, and as I remember, I think there was hundreds or thousands users even. A
Yeah, we had.
lot. Yeah, because you had that magical name, Tim Race. I mean, how cool is that?
Well,
Yes, yeah.
and it was funny because in the early times we actually had, pe people that like to keep on the forefront of technology were in there, and we had some pretty interesting folks that showed up and kind of using technology in a new way. But I know that you are, so once again, Heidi lives in Estonia, which until what year was still under the,
USSR.
yeah.
It was we regained our independence 1989.
Okay. And things are probably, or not probably, they're much more westernized now, and you guys are
Yeah.
certainly an independent and vital state. But you were and are, or I'm not sure if you're still doing it. I didn't ask you this pre-call, but you've done more than your fair share of motorcycle road racing at the club and semi-international levels. You ran the R1 Cup for a while. What are you up to on the bikes these days?
Mostly, just how do you say it? Recreational. Or
Okay.
but I still do racing. I still love it, and I have my bike, and waiting for the summer. Right now it's all snowboarding, but I'm waiting for the summer because racing is, I don't know, something you have to do.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Perhaps, have you ever done ice racing? I'm just curious.
Yeah, actually I have the motocross bike. And that was cool, and that was where I learned the sensation of sliding, and I recommend it to anybody who wants to get their skill to another level to learn that sliding, to get that sensation, because on the bike, on the pavement, when it starts sliding, it's then it's already maybe too bad or
Pretty
too
much,
late. Yeah, but on ice you can do it, say basically, maybe motocross is the same thing, and you have
absolutely.
that flat track, also the same. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I forgot that one. But on ice, yeah, it's that's where I learned that.
I think that's still on my bucket list of things to do. You also translated Twist of the Wrist into Estonian and ended up
Yes.
coming over to the US and staying with Keith Code for a while. And having him go over your bit, then that was pretty
Word
cool.
by
My,
word. Yes.
yeah.
That was cool, and that was I don't know, that was hard. Basically I translated it back from Estonian to English, and then that was a magical time. Really, really great time. And
Which one?
the great thing is that book is still selling strong.
Awesome.
Yeah,
That's
absolutely.
very cool. Very cool.
Every
And
spring and every Christmas. You see the
excellent.
yes, but that's good.
So I take it you get residuals on that, and that keeps you in perhaps gas and tire money?
Yeah, a little bit, definitely. It helps, absolutely.
Well, and so from those humble origins that we had in the past, I'm here doing the Motopod show, and you are in Estonian, and you took several steps, and you are now the lead voice for Estonian TV for MotoGP. You do all three races on race weekends, and how did you get into that gig, and what do you think of it?
Well, I think you're the one to blame, because it's been a span. I don't know how in past tense it is. From that right onto website, of course, and all that technical background and chats that we had, and it kind of felt natural when they asked, you know, if I want to do that. I said, definitely yes. Mm-hmm. So I can comment the real thing. I mean, and it's the channel is Viasat Sport Baltic, and mm-hmm. and everybody on Viasat coverage. I think you can see it. Well, it's in Estonian. That's maybe too bad, but.
Do you do it by yourself, or do you ever occasionally have a partner?
Occasionally, I have a partner. I have a Estonian and Russian superbike champion. My good friend, and he's very good in all that technical stuff. He's that good. He's like Julian Ryder, you know, that good.
Okay. Yeah.
So he helps a lot.
Cool. And you're doing this, I'm assuming, for the most part remotely. Is there a decent chance that you're actually going to be spending time at more than one or two of the races this year?
Well, looks like this year it may be that I can visit some of the races and do part of the commentary from spot. We'll see, maybe Brno or something mm-hmm. close, but yeah, mostly on remote location.
Yeah, it's too bad that I'm not sure if you remember, but Jules was at the Brno race last year, and I know that geographically that's not too far from where you are, and it would be great if you guys could hook up. The funny thing is, with the exception of, you know, that it's very weird having sort of a virtual
friendship. Yes, absolutely.
It is odd.
Yeah. That's what I call digital closeness.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But there's no doubt that you are a key component, or at least a rung of the ladder that got, you know, me to where I'm doing what I am, and perhaps Ride On 2 was also something that brought you up. Did they know of you? Did they knew of you from that website?
Yeah, some Estonians also read that. I don't know how many of them post. You have to look up the IPs, but yeah, I know people read it. So,
and there's a fair amount of Estonians. I think it's in the maybe more than 100 that actually participate on the Motopod Facebook fan page. So most of which are from Tallinn.
Well, yeah, that's basically the place. I don't know if they're from Tallinn. Lots of people work in Tallinn or partially live in Tallinn. They put the location Tallinn, but...
Cool. Yeah. Cool. Well, so at some point we will have to figure out how to actually meet face to face and sit down and have a beverage and talk about stuff, or maybe not have a beverage and go hit the racetrack somewhere.
I would love to see you on racetrack with those two-stroke Kawasaki's.
We've been bragging against each other for many years, but at some point we'll have to put up and shut up before we both have to hobble around on cranes or wheelchairs. Yep. All right, listen, Heidi. I did want to have a chance to talk to you, and thank you very much. I know I talked to you one time before in that recording. The quality wasn't that great, but this one will mm-hmm. be excellent. Okay. And so we'll have you on next week's show.
All right, and cool. Cheers, everybody.
Cool. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you.
Many thanks, Heidi. Appreciate that, and kind of gives you folks out there a little bit of a history of how the show came about, or at least how myself and Jules came to be involved and how things changed over the years, sort of a creation myth, if you will. And now let's talk about a little bit what's going on with World Superbike, World Supersport down in Phillip Island. Kind of fill you in a little bit on day one. Currently,
I was just going to say, Jim, whilst you were away talking to Heidi, nothing's changed.
I'm still impressed that the scores is at the top with Quinters and Melandri, Fabrizio and Haga, all guys that have raced in GP. With the exception of Lascores, of course, who just stepped up from World Supersport and, in fact, spent the end of last season out injured. So talk about a comeback. Not only doing good, he's putting a bike on top so far that has a lot of question marks behind it. You know, the Kawasaki has always had good power, always, but it's had handling issues traditionally over the years, and that is what has kept it out of the top step. So if they can pull this together, and there's a lot of talk that this may be the version, it'll be fun. My thing. But it would be neat to see them back on top.
But my ooh there was just because Eugene's on the move. He's just jumped up to seventh, and intermediate one, he's got a quickest.
He does, and there's no doubt that actually having Melandri do well on the team is going to get Eugene to push even harder. My worry was that Melandri would take his time getting up to speed, and it looks like that he is pushing hard, and the man certainly got something that, at least to himself and perhaps to the world, that he wants to prove. Let's talk about yesterday a little bit, because there were some surprises there. I think the one thing that stuck in my mind, without a factory team in World Superbike, Ducati still managed to have the top three bikes, and the number one person on that was the aging Spaniard himself, Carlos Checa, on the Althea racing bike, and he basically had the rest of the field by almost a second.
Yeah, and he shattered the lap record.
He did.
And I'm absolutely never going to call him Careless Checa again, because that's just so disrespectful, and he's been an absolute revelation.
He has, and frankly, it almost seems like the past few years he started to look younger and younger, and I'm like, That's pretty impressive. I can't remember if it was last year or the year before that on the first lap of one of the two races, he ended up going off with a couple of guys, I think at the top of Lukey Heights, I want to say, off to the right. I don't think he crashed big, but somebody else did in that particular melee. But there's no...
Last year was when he had that brilliant battle with Leon Haslam, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And it was like a nanosecond between them. It was just awesome.
Yeah. I could watch racing from PI all day long. So your top three there were Checa, Guintoli, and Smurs. This is from Monday. This is a combination aggregate timing from the full day. All in Ducatis. You should note that Guintoli and Smurs are actually riding last year's Xerox Ducatis with some improvements, of course. Next four you're looking at are Biaggi, Fabrizio, Sykes, and Melandri. Next four after that are Jonathan Rea, Leon Haslam, Eugene Laverty, and Johan Lascores, who is right now, running at the top of the timesheets. And currently today he is running almost a full second, over a full second faster than he was going yesterday. So, not too bad.
No, not at all. And, I mean, one of the things that I found quite interesting about that, like you were saying, the guys at the top are all Ducatis, but it's not the people you expected to see at the top. Of course, we don't know what they're testing. We don't know what kit's going to come along. But there's a few names there who aren't on the official entry list. And Jay Waters spring into mind on the Yoshimura Suzuki, who don't appear to have an official entry. So whether they'll be a late entry, I'm not sure.
That is interesting. Or maybe a wild card. Very well could be a wild card.
Just
although, I've never seen a wild card test before. That's a very good point, Martin. I believe, and somebody will correct me if I'm wrong, that he is an Australian superbike rider. In fact, I think he may be last year's champion. Oh, I'm going out into deep waters here and making an unassumed guess.
And you don't do that in Australia. They got sharks.
Oh, I know. Well, yeah, I would hear about it rather quickly. Looking down through the list as well, right after...
Now, the only Suzuki listed in the official entry is Michel Fabrizio on Alstari's sole entry this year.
True.
So, interesting. But,
With no Suzukis in World Supersport. Again,
No. And yet they just released a brand new GSX 600, which is supposedly Neil Hodgkins has been testing it for Motorcycle News, and supposedly it's a fantastic bit of kit. And you think, well, come on, guys, racing sells bikes.
Yeah.
I mean, Ducati have proved that if anybody has.
I think part of it is, in fact, this question, we were talking about this elsewhere. Why are certain teams there and are certain brands represented in these classes and others not? I think part of it is under the rule structure, as so you're looking at not only buildability to the rules and what you can get out of a bike for the most bang for your buck, as well as support. Whether or not teams or manufacturers have the capability at a certain time of providing support to these series is not necessarily something that I am privy to, but it does, I think, kind of have a severe impact on what brands teams run.
And I mean, we saw last year the support that Suzuki gave their only World Superbike effort, and their front runner in Leon Haslam, it just kind of dried up by all accounts, which was it was an absolute tragedy. I think it was just after PI, wasn't it, that you interviewed Leon, and that was good stuff.
All right, so let's take the opportunity now to listen to Mark Braxton very briefly. There's a bit of a pause and a bit of a jump there. We did have some technical issues, which were all my fault. I take full blame. So what we have now is Jules to help me fill on out the rest of the show. But in the meantime, you guys didn't hear this interview from Mark Braxton that I did, but with about 10 minutes left at PI, that when the Superbike guys were finishing out, it was a very cool call because I love the sound, because it's exactly what I think that you hear when they're doing shows on TV and they split to the guy in the pit lane and there's a lot of noise, a lot of chaos, and I think that kind of fits in very well with the theme of the show, which is yet to be undecided. So let's roll, Joel.
And then the equipment starts to make it all flange. I was
Yeah.
going to try to do a British accent and pretend I was Martin, but I'm not very good at impersonations.
Hey, dude, the only person I can impersonate myself is, and I'm pretty bad at it. All right, let's go. All right. Well, I've got Mark Brax direct live from Phillip Island right now. We're finishing up the second day of the Superbike testing. I believe there's still one session to go with World Supersport. We've got some very interesting stories coming out of there. Probably a top one is the performance of the Ducatis, perhaps also a performance of the old guys, and the BMW is not doing so well. How are you doing, Mark?
I'm doing all right for an old bloke too.
Especially the day after your birthday. Happy birthday from Motopod.
Thanks very much. It was probably the quietest one I've ever had in a while, actually. It was in bed pretty early. But anyway, that's what we've got to do down here, working and stuff. But yeah, it's been a bit of a, oh, the weather's played a part. Yesterday morning, the opening couple of sessions was on wet tracks. It looked like typical Phillip Island weather, storms, wind, and then it's fined up a bit. But today's been pretty well overcast, a few bits of drizzle, but nothing too serious.
How about those Ducatis? That's pretty impressive. I know they always go well there, but certainly having Checa on the top and dominating with some great laps is impressive.
Well, the other thing with impressing with Carlos too is that he's not using a traction control or anything. He's all just using it by his wrist, and the Ducati is just driving so well. And that time he did this morning, a 130.576. That's only a second slower than Nicky Hayden's outright lap record of the MotoGP bike. So, and then going about a second under the best lap ever done when Regis Lacone got the fastest lap here in 1990, 2009 on the Ducati.
Yeah,
it's surprising that Checa's there, but it's also Ginterly on the second of the new bikes with Jakob Smurs's teammate. He was the one surprising there. The team's there, the new Ducati's there. They're supposed to have the 2010 version, whereas Carlos Checa's got the updated 2011 version.
Yeah, I believe they ended up getting the Xerox Ducati bikes from last year, did they not?
Yeah, that's it. That's right. And they've done Carlos has had a bit more work done on his with some more electronic management and a few other little bits and pieces added to it. But Well, the difference is about 0.5 of a second in front, 0.6 of a second in front at the moment, and we've only got a couple of minutes left of the second session for the day and the fourth and final one. We've got a minute and a half left, so I can't see much happening there. Johnny Ray is in third at the moment, but he's just been airlifted to hospital in Melbourne. He had a big get-off at the outlap of this session. We're going through turn three, which is probably one of the most daunting corners in world motorsport. His bike caught fire, and he's had to bail out. So the latest news is he's got a broken finger, and they've taken him away for x-rays to his left hand. But me being they only tell you what they want you to hear. Being airlifted to Melbourne says there might be a few more things wrong with him, because he had an accident here last week where he banged his head pretty bad when he high-sided coming out of turn one. So if there's been any further complications to that, we don't know. So we've just got to wait and see.
Well, best to him then. I guess another big surprise that we have here is you on the scores and the Kawasaki doing quite well.
Yeah, very much so. And it's surprised a few people that he's been right up. This is his first real hit out on the Kawasaki Superbike in front of mixed company. That sure, he's done some testing on it, but it's until you get there with all your competitors. And speaking of Kawasaki's, when was the last time you saw a World Superbike grid with more Kawasaki's than any other manufacturer on the grid?
I am shocked and pleased.
I think a lot of people are, but it just shows you that, a lot of people have got faith in this new ZX10 that the Japanese are really got back together, and from early reports they certainly have, and looking at the time of the scores is 131.8, put him in the fifth fastest overall over the 2 days in front of the current world champion Max Biami Aprilia, who's on sixth. A good sign for the boys there in the Kawasaki box. And
no
I
doubt.
Suppose you've got to mention too that the Kawasaki box might be happy for that, but also a bit upset the fact that Chris Vermeulen has been forced to withdraw again, especially his home race with this chronic knee injury that he's been suffering.
Yeah, that is a big shame. And you know, we all want to see him there, and having to wait until Donington, you know, might allow him to heal up. But it does make you wonder and worry what the situation is with that.
Yeah, well, he'll be here till Friday. I think he's going home Friday, because you know what riders are like. If they've got to stick around on a race weekend and watch racing, they're like a bear with a sore head. Mm-hmm. So disappear, and he can go back up the Sunshine Coast and put the feet up, so to speak.
Yeah. It's nice to see at least the one Suzuki of Fabrizio making a little bit of a mark. It will be interesting with all the effort for Suzuki focused on him, how he can perform throughout the season.
Well, I think with this early form that he's shown now, he's in seventh fastest after 2 days. I think he's going to do well with the Suzuki boys, because he's the sole rider in the team. And he's going to have all the attention focused on him, whereas in years gone by, being a second-string rider, or they say equal, but he's always second-string to Norrie Hart, that at least when he can get in this team by himself, it'll be all warm and fuzzy with the team. And I think having that, having the focus of everybody in the team just solely looking at him to go forward, I think you're really going to see the right Michelle Fabrizio out there.
Yep. And I do wish the best for Alstera, because they have been struggling a bit lately. You know, the two people that are kind of I'm watching with a keen eye are both Melandri and Eugene Laverty. It seems like they're probably pushing each other pretty hard. I was a little surprised they aren't farther up, but I know that they're very methodical in their development at Yamaha Italia.
Well, this is a brand new bike as well. The whole thing's been changed around. They moved the fuel tank, they moved the whole balance of the bike, and they're both not going to be equal riders. They won't be given anything special. Whatever one gets, the other's supposed to be getting. But then, depending who starts doing better in the championship, you know what they're like. But the disappointment so far is the BMW Motorrad team of particularly Troy Corsa and young Leon Haslam. Leon's had a couple of crashes today. Corsa, they seem to be having a lot of rear end grip problems with the factory BMWs. And not real good when you've got James Toseland on the BMW Italia team running bikes that aren't the same spec as the factory BMWs, actually being faster than faster than Corsa and just slower than Leon Haslam. So I saw Corsa's hand movements after the first session, and it looks like the way he was going, every corner around the left, he was just getting no rear-end grip, and it was just spinning up on him something severely. So nothing seems to have changed there from last year.
Well, you know, that's kind of unusual, too, because they very purposefully skipped the Portimao test and were down here trying to get things sorted out prior to this. So I do have a little bit of worry there.
Yeah, well, I had 2 days at Eastern Creek and a further 2 days down here at Eastern Phillip Island as well. So, yeah, I think there's a bit of frustration in the camp. I'll be going down shortly to try and do a bit of lie detecting and see what's going on. But, yeah, it's fun and games. But another surprise packet that your American listeners might be surprised with is Josh Waters. You might remember he went over there to have a few races on the Yoshimura Makita Suzuki with Peter Doyle and co over there and suffer that injury, and he was out there for a while. But he's got this Yoshimura Suzuki shipped out from Japan, the Yoshi factory over there, and talk about a trick-looking motorcycle. If you want to, Google and gargle over a bike, you got to have a look at this thing. It's just the work of art, just even the clutch adjustment, the chamfering on that, and just all the little bits and pieces that they've put to it. It's a remarkable bike, and Josh is now, he's in 12 fastest, and he's the fastest out of all the Australians, just behind Norrie Harger on the Aprilia factory. So Josh is, 1.8 seconds off Checkers' time, but then Checkers' 0.6 of a second in front of everybody else. So you can basically say that Josh is only 0.8 of a second, 0.9 of a second off the leaders. So I reckon if any of his fans over there, with a bit of luck, he'll get a top five finish in one of the two races on Sunday.
That's fantastic. Now, is that a full-time ride?
No, this is a one-off, but it could lead to more rides with the Yoshimura team because they would like to start contesting a World Superbike Championship. And if this is any indication, I think they've got the inspiration. I was talking to the guys there from the Yoshimura team, and they're really enthused in just what Josh has been able to achieve on the back. The compliments they've come back to him with for such a young kid, I think he's only not even 20 years old, and he said he's so methodical when he comes back and actually tells them what's going on with the bike, and it makes him a lot easier to do the adjustments they need. And up until this afternoon, he wasn't using any traction control or wheelie control or anything. He was just learning the bike first time on Pirelli's in a race situation, basically. And, he's going to surprise a few. Like this morning, the man in front of him was Biaggi by a tenth of a second. And even Biaggi was scratching his head going, who is this kid that's come from nowhere?
Well, that's very cool, not only for this side of the pond, but also down there as well. There are a few others that kind of lingered down at the bottom. This test is truly the one that kind of gives us an indication, with the race only being, a week away or less than a week away. You have any thoughts, anybody that isn't quite there at this point?
It's been really hard there, Jim, because of there's never been any really consistent conditions in the testing. So they're going to go in here with still scratching their heads about setup because they've been changing things left, right and centre. The track temperature's been changing. We're lucky to get about 25 degrees today. And knowing Phillip Island, it'll probably be about 40 degrees come Friday when they go out the test. And all the data they've got for tyres right through to, everything else, fuel and mapping and stuff, they'll be all beyond the eight ball. So it's going to be quite interesting. But my tip as far as the surprise has got to be Sylvain Ginterly. He's really come about, like jumping off the four-cylinder Suzuki onto the V2 Ducati, and he's been up there every session, really pushing it. But far as anyone that's going to jump out of the waters, a bit hard to say. Ruben Schaus could be a dark horse in it because he seems to be really settling into that Honda really well on the Castrol Honda Johnny Ray's team, mate.
Sure.
And what else have we got there? Lescours, mate.
Oh, yeah.
He's the one that's right up there at the moment. So I think if anyone's going to put the cat among the pigeons and surprise anyone, it might be the young Spanish guy because he is really, really on the pot.
No doubt. And he is truly a win it or bin it kind of guy. Let's take a little detour here and talk about Supersport just a bit because I find some interest there too. First off is Fabien Furey back on form. You know, this is a former world champion in Supersport, now riding for the Handspree Honda team.
Well, back on the Handspree, Handspree, but back on the 10 car Honda because that's when he won the world championship for them all those years ago, back in 2000, was it 2 or 3, I think it was?
I think it was 2002. And so, you know, he's no spring chicken, much like our well-aged Carlos Checa. And that is the other story, is the old guys are doing quite well.
Well, it just proves that it doesn't matter, how old the dog is. It just depends how much fight's left in him. And You've got Corsa, you've got Biaggi, who are both knocking on the door of 40 years old. Checker's not far off it himself, and I think Carlos, if he's going to win a championship, it's going to be this year, and he's looking pretty strong from the outset, and that Ducati, the way he's driving it, it just doesn't get out of shape. He's not using traction control. You can hear that standing next to the track, that he's just using his hand to steer the thing. And, yeah, the good old boys are coming of age, which makes us all feel pretty good as well.
And then we've got a couple more. The Kiwis, of course, are doing well with both David Salom, who came out of World Endurance, I believe, as well as Brock Parks back settling in on a 600. And then young Marino, who is, I believe, the teammate, is he not, to Foray?
Yeah, he is. Marino's just come from nowhere, actually. I think he was doing Superstock last year. I never really heard much about him, but just shows you when they get on a bike, they feel comfortable with anything's possible.
Yep, no doubt. And the guys that I expect to pick up some time between now and next weekend are the likes of Gino Rey, Sam Lowe's, Chaz, maybe James Ellison. Those guys should be able to pick it up for next weekend's racing.
Yeah, well, Gino Rea, he'd be lucky to be 17, I think. I had a bit of a joke about him today about how young he is and how fast they are. Sam Lowe, at least Gino's been here once before. Sam Lowe, yesterday, he was up there about fourth fastest before he had a pretty big get-off going over Lukey Heights with a bit of, I think it was a bit of oil on the track that a few of them hit. But his first time here, Sam Lowe's a current British Supersport champion. He's really going to go far because he's a teammate to Miguel Praha on the Park Alga Honda, which Eugene Laverty was on last year. Very well set up team. And I think what he's going to do this year, Sam Lowe's, he's, and he loves this place. First time down here, and he's already up in the top six at the time. So their bikes are just going past now to have their last 1.5 hour session. The other one, that Chaz Davies, he's on Cal Crutchlow's Yamahas from 2009. Yamaha didn't compete in the Supersport Championship last year. So when it all fell apart with Triumph, Yamaha was quick, and it's a great avenue for Yamaha to get back into the World Supersport Championship.
No doubt. No doubt. I do expect Ellison to pick it up, and I think he's got Mark Woodage behind him as his crew chief, who is basically the literal and figurative brains behind the Park Algar squad.
Yeah, gotcha. So I think, you know, there's 24 entrants, and the Supersport, it looks a bit thin on the ground with the guys there, because there's a lot of new faces in this team. Ivanov, he's Gino Rea's teammate. He's Ukrainian, actually. He did Moto2 last year, but a lot of money coming from that part of the world. They're sponsored by Crimea, which is a country that I only heard of that was in a war with England about 200 years ago. But the royal family there has built a Grand Prix track and tipping a lot of money into this 600 team with Rea and Ivanov. And Ivanov, his brother's involved the team as well, and I think the money that's coming from there will be most welcome to keep the Supersport team running.
Yeah, it is kind of interesting how the Supersport class thinned a bit, and then we got a few more guys back. You know, we'll have to see, and the class always tends to move up and down, and they often have a lot of wild cards in there as well.
Yeah, and it's good. I think it diminished a bit last year when everybody put their focus on Moto2.
Right.
The 600, those production-based 600 bikes. And I think with these World Supersport bikes putting out in the range of 150 horsepower compared to a Moto2 bike, which is likely to put out 125, at the expense of the class, I think you might see a few more boys coming back in.
I would not be surprised at all. Mark, I should let you go. I know you have some ears to go bend and some facts and figures to glean from the various teams. I haven't imagined so, right?
Yeah, I think I've got to go and do that and get ready for the launch of my website tomorrow night. I'm having a big night tomorrow night with an Italian restaurant that they all go to, and I'm putting on some food and beers for the lads and a few of the press guys. And they've told me that I'm putting the money on the bar for the beers, that they'll surely be there to take advantage of it, because they've never seen me put my hand in my pocket.
Well, listen, you best of luck with launch of motoraceface.com, and I really appreciate you taking the time once again to talk to us, and we'll talk to you again soon.
No worries, Jim. All the best of everybody over there too.
All right, cheers. All right, Braxy, thank you so much once again. And again, we'll be having him on the show. I have a feeling we may have him for as much of the year as he's either willing to put up with us or
Us with him.
Yeah, exactly. But it's great to have Braxy on the show, and I wish him luck in his venture with MotorRaceFace.com. So, in sort of picking back up where we left off, and this is cool in a way. So now I've got Jules, and it's a couple of days later, and we've had 2 days or 2.25 days, if you will, of MotoGP second practice, or not second practice, but second test going on in Malaysia. Things are kind of, you know, fleshing out, Jules. And the one thing that's standing out in my mind, and correct me if you think I'm wrong, is, dude, the Hondas are just smoking. They're not smoking everybody. It's still a very tight field, but they're doing a great job.
It's I wouldn't call it tight, man. I mean, the first non-Honda is the second off of Stoner's pace.
Okay, so in lying and cheating to you what I said, I wasn't going to pay attention to anything that was current. As of 20 minutes ago, and this is late Wednesday night California time, there's only 2.851 seconds covering the field from Casey Stoner all the way down to Karell Abraham. And so that's tight-ish.
It is getting there, but towards the end of the day, they start to run the softer tires.
Well, yeah, they will, no doubt,
and especially because this is the last day of this 3 day Sepang test. They will definitely want to put in some laps to scare the competition down.
I'm wondering if Casey is just going to go out there with like a gumball tire and just
he's sick. I loved it. Was a tweet from New Spalding who says, basically, Stoner went out there on the second lap. He set the fastest time of the day. And it's like, what a great way to start the day. And everybody else is like, fuck.
Yeah, well, you know, essentially, and clearly nobody right now is in give-up mode. And certainly not the way
Of course not. Of course not.
Yeah. Yeah.
But still, he lays down the law off.
That was an in-your-face lap. Now,
you know what's really weird is so then I went to the MotoGP.com website, excuse me, and there is a picture of him, you know, with his goofy little Three Musketeers mustache and goatee. But he's in a Repsol outfit. It's just every time I see him in a Repsol outfit, it just seems so weird.
It's jarring.
I was like, whoa, a double take, total double take.
Yeah, yeah, and there's no, you know, I look at the changes of liveries and whatnot, but. I still see Honda, and I'm looking at it kind of astounded. One of the things that we've had for this second test, which is kind of weird and may or may not in some ways affect it certainly affects the outcome for the riders. This has probably been one of the most sick tests that I can think of in a while. You've got four guys that have been ill through this. You had Cal Crutchlow food poisoning coming over. You had Valentino Rossi, of course, getting flu here. You had, I believe it was Hector.
I don't think it was Hector.
Yeah, no, it was Barbara with a touch of what seemed to be flu, and there was at least one other person. Valley didn't run at all on the second day, and came in today, and he's doing okay. But that's a squad that is in like hardcore what the fuck mode to try and figure out what components need to be switched around. But
And the funny thing is, GP1's reporting that Ducati is cooking for everyone. So everyone's going to get sick now.
I like that. Did you hear I'm not sure how much time you spent online, but the whole thing about the rumors about the dual clutch system.
Oh, yeah. You know, so this is another thing that I just posted a link about that to the Facebook page because I was really not paying attention. It kind of flashed on Twitter and then got dismissed by all the journals that I actually trust. But then GP1 kind of brought it back because, you know, I've never even heard of these guys that are saying this sport media set.
I have. And to be fair, and sometimes they've had some really good information, but I think this one, it was one of those speculations that may have been a little bit late in the season to tap into.
Right. But now it's on the GP1 homepage. And they said they actually went to the author of the article, Alberto Porta, and he said that it seems as though Honda has introduced a new type of clutch which benefits from knowledge gained with the DCT, but which also conforms to the rules.
You know, God bless the Italians, God bless the Spanish, but occasionally they try and stir up a bit of controversy. Well, let me paraphrase dear Mr. Supo for us. He essentially said it would be ridiculous for Honda to even try and do that. And the primary reason these guys are doing so well, and this is actually completely believable, is because as the top examples, if you will, both Stoner and Pedrosa knew that they were going to be doing well this year. And it's pretty clear that Honda's brought a serious bit of kit for the factory squad, and maybe for Simoncelli as well, in whatever guise they choose to give him parts. But he's like, no, they're pushing each other, and that's what's providing the results.
Oh, yeah. No, I see what you're saying. Yeah. I see what you said now. Yeah. No, that's I totally see that because they're swapping. I mean, they're way up there. They're already racing.
Yes. Yeah, damn close to it, if not there. Well, they're certainly close to the times they'd be running there. Wow, you know, a 3-day test with no rain, and if I just jinx them for this afternoon, my apologies.
They're the only ones who broke the 2-minute mark, right? Yeah. Simoncelli's like half second off.
They are, but there was a weird little bit that I read also earlier this evening. There was only one person that at least yesterday managed to. There was one person that being Casey Stoner, that managed to consistently break under 2:02, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, that was amazing.
Yeah, there was one other person who came in. This is not a race, Jim. Who had the fourth fastest time yesterday, that being Ben Spies, and he was only one lap shy in the consistency race, if you will. So it was like 27 and 26 or something like that. And Ben is saying now that if that was under race conditions, he certainly would vie for the podium. I'd love all this. It's always fun when this happens.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But, you know, we're so far along in World Superbike, which is coming up on this weekend, and then there's still a whole bunch that has to go on, not only in healing with riders, machinations within teams, and then the final test, that being at Qatar, which really is not the proving ground. So what do we know? Do we know anything yet, Jules?
We know that racing is about to get started.
Okay, I'm good with that.
That's what matters. Everything else is speculation. I like speculating, but it's just speculation.
Yeah. So I don't know what I'm left with, and I'll probably stay up a little bit late tonight. Maybe another snow day here tomorrow. Who knows?
You guys got some snow. I went riding on Monday and went a little too far.
To fill people in on the background, Jules went out riding on Monday, and we were going to do a call and ended up being just Martin and myself. But
yeah, we were going to do a 3-way call, the three of us. I got stuck out in the snow.
I got a text from Jules. There was an issue with a mechanical, and mechanical can cover an extremely broad range of subjects. Fill us in.
We wanted to go above the snow line and see just how far we can go.
Yeah.
And, going up is not so bad. And we realized, oh, we're going to have to go down this thing because we can't actually go over the hill because it's still like, 10 miles to go to the top of Mount Hamilton. And so we turned around and just really slowly went down. I think something happened to my buddy's bike on the way down because he couldn't get out a second. So for like an almost 40 miles, we rode in second with him in second gear,
which sucks.
Which sucks. And then of course, we called it, we gave up trying to figure out what the hell was going on the road. It was cold. So we called the tow truck. And as soon as we called the tow truck, he could shift again. Everything was fine. Mm-hmm. So I'm guessing something happened while we were coming down the hill real slow. Maybe he was like sitting on the pedal or something.
Being a software engineer and or at least in the field, that becomes one of those works for me kind of things.
Exactly. Yeah.
I do want to point this out because I think this is part of the personal nature of what the show is kind of about. I'm here in California. I'm at like 300 feet above sea level. I work at 3,000 feet. Jules lives in the Bay Area, and you're probably about 30 feet above sea level. And you may you may very well see snow on Friday.
I mean, most people are like, yeah, so what? You're at sea level. We get storms all the time, like UK. But yeah, California doesn't get that.
Yeah, it blows off the warm Pacific. But this one is a freight train coming down from Alaska.
Yeah.
And
which will be interesting to see what happens to this area when there's a little bit of snow, even if it doesn't hit the ground, because people freak.
It's going to turn into Martin's most hated portions of the UK.
That's right.
All right, I'll bring us back in. So in BSB news, which we kind of know, and it's actually a crossover to MotoGP, is the fact that we've got Hopper, of course, starting. And this is going to be firing up, it's kind of on the far horizon at 25th of April at Brands Hatch, a circuit that has been down and out with the cold, same cold that we've had, and a good solid dusting of snow, or at least a foot for what I remember a couple of years ago. But at the same time, we know that Hopkins has been slated as a Bautista substitute rider in the event of injury, which, dude, can you imagine that? Okay, we've got your backup here. It's like your how does it work in theater? You've got your what is that term?
Stand-in.
The whole thing is, it just seems a little odd to me. It doesn't seem odd to me. Actually, the thing that seems odd to me is a relationship between Denning and Hopper, which got rather public from both standpoints, and now they're back in, I won't say bed together, but what are we expecting out of this? Are we expecting anything out of it? But actually, I look at it more from the perspective of Bautista being, I'd be like, dude, you know, I'm going to be fine. I'm going to race my ass off. And if I get hurt, you actually having somebody tapping me on the shoulder going, hey, how does that work? Just kind of pisses me off. We'll have to see how that goes. And I hope it goes well. And in fact, Bautista has been doing very well at, out there in Malaysia. So more power to him. And it'd be nice to see the Suzuki NS800 guys actually have some great results before we move on, or before Suzuki disappear, if that may happen. Yeah, it is scary, isn't it? You know, we only got one Suzuki right now in World Superbike run. There with Fabrizio, who's, you know, kind of one of those he's kind of like Tony Elias, and I'll just leave it at that. Anyway, all that kind of boils down to, there's a whole bunch of connections there. BSB, MotoGP, World Superbike, all of which have Hopper's been into, because our whole thing, we've blown it up, Jules. We have 125 at last check. Participants in the MCN Fantasy Road Race competition for Motopod. Way cool. Our team pin is 1477. I wouldn't be surprised by the end of the week if we didn't have 150. And it appears I'm one to starting hovering on numbers. And I think Martin's actually infected me with that. But
it's pretty amazing. It's going to be such a good competition.
It is. And there will be plenty of smack talking involved. Help me close this thing out, because I've completely destroyed it, Jules.
It's okay, Jim. It's okay. Don't forget, PI is quite ahead of a lot of folks. So if you're watching in the North America zones,
yeah, I think there's 16 hours ahead, something like that.
Yeah. So obviously they're not going to be showing it live in North America, but put your spoiler, resistant goggles on early if you want to see it on Sunday when they show it here in America.
Yeah, this is the first race of the year we actually get to see how all of our newly acquired fans behave. We like hide from email, hide from the web, you know, kind of waiting. Or we do as we usually do, is stay up and, yeah, this is a great race. And you're watching timing and scoring going, wow, somebody passed somebody.
Yeah. Good night, everyone. Enjoy the racing this weekend, and we'll talk to you next week. Ciao.
Bye.
What?
That was awesome.